Today is taken out of the book of Genesis. We were speaking to you last week about Rebekah, that she was pregnant and that she was due to have children. And where there was such a commotion in her womb, she went to the Lord to inquire of him why all this commotion was going on within, and how that the Lord answered her and told her that there were two nations in her womb, and that from these two nations there would spring forth Jesus Christ, his dear Son. For out of one of these nations the Messiah would come forth. We spoke to you spiritually how that a child of God likewise is also concerned about what is going on inside, how that there is the man of flesh and the spiritual man inwardly, how that the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman are striving against each other inwardly, and how that a sinner returns to God and inquires how it is thus. We find that Rebekah gave birth to two sons. The first one that was born was Esau. The second that came out was called Jacob. There was a great difference in these two young men when they were born. The first one was hairy and red all over. The other one was plain and smooth. These two young men, they grew up. The one Esau, he became a cunning hunter. And Jacob, he was a plain man. He dwelt in tents. He abided mostly around the tent of his mother. And we find that Isaac, he loved Esau because Esau went out hunting and brought back deer meat, venison. And he prepared that so savory that Isaac, he loved to eat that meat. They say the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. And this is the way Isaac also received such love from his father. But Rebekah, she loved Jacob, probably because Jacob, he was round about the house and he did many things for his mother. Now, there is a point here I would stress, my hearers, you that are parents. You have children? Do you make a distinction between them? Rebekah and Isaac did. Isaac loved Esau, Rebekah loved Jacob. We shouldn't make any distinction, my hearers, between our children. They're all our children. We should love them just as much. We shouldn't favor one any more than we do the other. It's often the thing, though, in life. You often see it when parents come to die, even, how that they favor one more than they do another. We are not to do this, my hearers. God's word teaches us entirely different. One of the storybooks that we have on this particular story teaches us that Rebekah loved Jacob because he feared God. I can't see that he feared God at this present time, my hearers. Isaac then, he loved Esau. Esau, he was a rough character. He went out hunting. He enjoyed himself being a sportsman. He hardly ever was home. For Jacob, he was always home. He was always around the house. He was handy for the help of his mother. And now they grew up, these two young men. And Esau, he went out hunting one day. And he came back and he was very faint. He was very weary. I don't know if any of my hearers ever went hunting. I used to at one time. You do get weary, I know. You walk and you tramp through the woods and you're looking for something and you don't find it and you keep going. Now this makes you very tired because you're walking on rough terrain. Now this was the way it was with Esau. And now when he came back, he found his brother cooking some lentils. Now, they were red in color, and it was mixed with meat and mixed with rice. And when he seen this, what his brother was cooking, he was sodding this, it says, and then he desired to have some of this. Now Esau, he was the firstborn. In Scripture, the firstborn was consecrated unto God. Next, the firstborn, he had a right to two parts of the father and mother's possessions. And the firstborn likewise, he, when the father died, could take over and control the family. You see this throughout Scripture, especially with kings. If a king died, the oldest son became king in his place. Now, Jacob, he was the second born. And Jacob, he had his eye on the blessings that were attached to being the firstborn. And he probably had talked with Esau about this, and Esau probably had let drop out of his mouth that he didn't care so much about being the firstborn. It didn't worry him any. But now he came back from the field very faint. And when he seen this red pottage that Jacob was cooking, he desired to have it. And the cunning part of Jacob was that he knew just at the right time to put this to Esau. For he says unto Esau, sell me your birthright, and then I will give you some of this red pottage. Esau, he said, what good is this birthright to me? I am at the point to die. It won't help me any. And now Jacob says, swear unto me. So he made him swear before God that the birthright would be Jacob's. And then Jacob, he fed him with this pottage. He was so faint and so weak that he couldn't even feed himself. And he thought because he was that faint and weak, he was going to die. And therefore he wanted his brother even to feed him, which he did. And so Esau despised his birthright. He sold it to Jacob. Now, my hearers, this birthright has a significant meaning. There were also spiritual blessings attached to this birthright, and that is what Jacob had his eye on. And now, if we, by the grace of God, have been given to be born again, then what this birthright means also means spiritually. Then we are consecrated to God. What a blessing to be born again, to have that our lives are dedicated to God and to his service. And my hearers, when we come to die, then we will inherit eternal glory. The Father and his dear Son Jesus has a portion laid away for each and every one that has been born again. Oh, that'll be an inheritance that will never fade away, an inheritance that abides forever. And now we find that this man Esau, he despised the blessings attached to his birthright. There's a lesson here for us, my hearers. He was so faint and so hungry and so desirous after this food that he cared not about anything but that. That's what he wanted, even if he had to forsake all the blessings attached to the birthright. Is he something like you and I? Have you ever been faint? Have you ever been weary? What I mean by that, have you ever had your eye on something that you wanted, and you didn't care what you would lose or what would happen to you if you only had that? You know that's the way we are by nature. We'd rather have sin. We'd rather have the world. We'd rather have these pleasures attached to it than have Christ Jesus and his blessings. We despise Christ and the blessings attached to the covenant of grace by choosing what Esau chose, choosing the world and the pleasures thereof. Oh, may God in his infinite mercy teach us to make, by grace, the right choice. And now this man Esau, he became 40 years of age, and he married two women. They were Gentiles. They were of the land of Canaan. They were women that were a grief unto Rebekah and unto Isaac. He mingled the seed of Abraham with the heathens, which he should have never done. He cared not about his parents, what they thought about the matter. He went ahead and married these two women. And they became a source of grief to Rebekah and Isaac. My hearers, have you children? Are they growing up? There's a lesson here. Instruct your children so that when they become of age and they wish to choose a partner in life, that they choose one of their own faith, one of their own kind. So many, they despise the warnings, the admonitions of their parents, who speak to them in love, who know more than they do, who see through life. And what do? They make choice of somebody that they like, regardless of what the parents think about the matter. They take someone that don't even go to church, probably. And if they do, they belong to another faith. And soon we see where some of our children have been born and brought up under the truth, they depart. So easy. Oh, it's so easy to go away, my hearers, believe me. That's our nature. And soon they don't even go to church anymore. They live like heathens. This is what happened with Esau, marrying these two women. And believe me, if you are a parent and this happens to your daughter or your son, that will be a grief to you, I'm sure. After you instructing them and bringing them up as good as you possibly could in the fear and in the nurture of the Lord to find them to do this, it was to Isaac and it was to Rebekah, and it is to each and every parent, I'm sure. Now, there's a lesson here for us. Parents, instruct your children in this particular matter that they may not depart from the truth and depart and marry someone of another faith, someone that cares not about God, about his son, about the way of salvation. And now, Esau was 40 years of age, which makes Isaac 100 years of age. For he was 60 years of age when Rebekah gave birth to these two sons. And now Esau being 40, Isaac is already 100. And then we read, and Isaac became old, and he lost his sight. Maybe if they had glasses in those days, he might have been able to see. But they didn't have eyeglasses like we have today. So Isaac, he was around 137 years of age, according to the commentary, very old, and he couldn't see anymore. And you know, Isaac, he loved Esau. And Esau was the firstborn. Now, whether Rebekah had spoken to her husband about Esau selling his birthright to Jacob, Scripture does not give us any account thereof. But surely Rebekah must have told Isaac when she went to inquire of the Lord about what was going on within her Then the Lord spake to her and said that there were two nations in her womb, and that the elder would serve the younger. In this, God revealed already that the younger was going to be blessed by him. And now we find Isaac calling his son Esau to him. He said unto him, "My son Esau, go, take your bow and take your quiver, and go and fetch me some venison, some savory meat that I love, that I may bless thee before the Lord, before I die. For I know not the day of my death." Isaac then is concerned about dying and about blessing Esau before he dies. My hearers, are you concerned about the day of your death? Not one of us know when that day shall take place. It is a most certain fact that we all must die. And it's true, as Isaac says, "I know not the day of my death." Some of you probably have been near to death's door, and God has mercifully raised you up. You have a witness that there's a day coming you're going to die. Oh, how necessary that you receive the blessings of the covenant of grace in this life before you die, to be prepared so that when death does come, you may enter into the joy of your Lord. How few think about death. How few like to hear about it. Don't speak to us about death. Speak to us about life. My hearers, death takes place every day. It's a serious thing to die. You have to meet your Maker, your Creator. And how are you going to meet him? Do you think you can meet him in your sins, in your guilt? Verily no, my hearers. Christ teaches us we must be born again. And when we are born again, by the grace of God, we have a life that shall never die. Or may you seek to have a new birth in this life. And my hearers, Esau, he took his bow and his quiver and he went out hunting. But when Isaac said this, Rebekah was listening. And Rebekah, she wanted Jacob to have the blessing. So now we find Rebekah contriving to give unto Jacob the blessing which was supposed to be Esau's. She calls Jacob and says to him, "I just heard your father speaking to Esau that he was going to bless him before he died. Now, Jacob, listen to me. Go to the herd, get yourself two kids of the goats, and bring them back to me, and I will make savory meat like your father loves, and then you will go in with this savory meat and tell him you are Esau, so that you will receive the blessing that was designed for Esau." Jacob, he said, "Mother," he said, "Esau is a hairy man." He says, "And if I come near to my father and he should feel me, then I'll receive a curse instead of a blessing." Rebekah says, "Your curse be upon me. Do as I say." So Jacob, he went to the herd and he brought back two kids of the goats. Rebekah, she prepared them, and she took goodly raiment of Esau, her eldest son, and she put it upon Jacob. And she took the skins of these goats, and she laid the skin on his neck and on his hands. In those countries, the goat's hair does not grow very long like it does here in this country, in the northern part of the world. There it's more like man's hair, And now we find Jacob going in with Esau's clothes on, with these skins on his neck and on his hands, and he takes the two kids prepared by his mother and comes to his father. He says, "Father, arise and eat, for I have prepared the venison that you like to eat." Now Isaac, he said unto him, "Art thou my son Esau?" "Yes," he says, "I am your firstborn." "How is it, my son, that ye have found it so quick?" He says, "The Lord your God give me to find it." And now Esau, he had an altogether different voice than Jacob. And Isaac was accustomed to hearing Esau's voice, and he listened, and to him it was the voice of Jacob. He detected the voice. So he called Jacob to come near unto him. Jacob is posing as Esau. He says, "Come near unto me, my son." And he came near unto him, and he felt him. And he felt his hands were hairy, and his neck was hairy. He said, "The voice is Jacob's, but the hands are Esau's." And he blessed him. And then we find that he called him again, and he kissed him. And when he kissed him, he smelled. And the smell of his coat was as the smell of a field that the Lord had blessed. So Isaac did not detect that it was Jacob. What do we have here, my heroes? We have a mother and we have a son doing nothing else but lying and deceit. Rebekah should have never acted in this way. In the first place, she should have went to Isaac and explained to him that Esau, he had married these two women, heathen women, and that by doing that he had mingled the seed, the holy seed, with these heathens. And she should have told him likewise about how that God had spoken to her when these two young men were going to be born. And now, if this had not helped, then she should have went to God with the matter and placed it before him and await for results from the Lord. Not to go ahead and deceive her husband, Isaac, who was blind and could not see. And not to take Jacob and teach him to be deceitful too and lie. For this is what she did. Although Esau had sold his birthright, and it was God's purpose to bless Jacob, still, they should have gave the matter over into the hands of the Lord. Now, my hearers, God did give his amen to the blessing that Isaac spake out over Jacob. And now this is not written for you and me to lie and to cheat and to deceive, but it's written for our admonition, for our learning. You know, my hearers, we all, according to Scripture, are liars. Let every man be a liar. And now it says in the Bible that the children of God are children that shall not lie. It says again in the book of Revelation that no liar will ever enter into the kingdom of heaven. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been caught in a lie? You know, these people, they did it intentionally. They did it to gain the blessing. But you know, sometimes and I'm guilty too. We say things, and then it comes back to us. We've been lying. We didn't do it intentionally, but it slipped out of our mouth even before we stopped to think what we were saying. You ever had that? You ever come back to you that you had lied? And did any of them texts that I just repeat come back to you and exclude you out of it? If it did not, be thankful that God kept you from lying. My hearers, if you are a child of God and your conscience is tender and you fall into something like this, oh, you cannot describe the commotion that goes on within when you are tripped up and given to see that you have been a liar. Oh, my hearers, there is, by the grace of God, forgiveness, even for liars. We see this in the history of Jacob. And now Jacob, he was standing by his father in Isaac. He commences to speak to him and to bless him. He blesses him with the blessings of heaven and of earth. He blesses him that he would be a ruler over his brethren. He blesses him that out of his seed there would come forth the Messiah. All nations would be blessed through his seed. Jacob then, he is receiving the blessing which Isaac is thinking that he's speaking to Esau. And now while Isaac is speaking out this blessing, it appears that he was under the extraordinary influence of the Holy Spirit. For he felt as he spake that he who he blessed would be blessed. And after he had blessed Jacob, then we find that he had no more than had gone away than Esau came. And he also came with savory meat. And he came in before his father and said, "Arise, father, and eat of the venison that I have prepared for thee." And then Isaac says, "Who art thou, my son?" "I am Esau, thy firstborn," he says. "And who was it that just has been here and I have eaten and I have blessed him and he shall be blessed?" Then it came out that Jacob had dealt subtilely and he had taken the blessing from Esau. And now we find Esau, he said his name is Jacob, supplanter. "True," he says, "two times he has deceived me," he says. "Once he took my birthright and now he has taken the blessing." And he says to his father, "Father, hast thou but one blessing? Bless me also, father." Oh, Esau was intent upon having a blessing. And Isaac, he felt that by blessing Esau, he was only giving him an inferior blessing. Esau began to cry and to lament with a bitter cry, "Bless me also, father, bless me also." It says in the Bible that Esau found no place of repentance, even though he sought it with tears. You must not think that Esau had any godly sorrow in his heart, and that he was repentant because he had sold his birthright and he had deserved what he had received. No, my hearers. He sought repentance by his father. He sought it with tears that his father would relent and would bless him. And his father could not bless him. For Isaac felt that God had said amen to the blessing that he had spoken out over Jacob. And now he blessed him with an inferior blessing. He blessed him with the dew of heaven, and he would likewise be blessed upon earth. With his sword, he would obtain his food, and God likewise would give unto him that he would break the yoke from off his brother's neck, and that he would not submit to the ruling and to the governing of his brother. Esau then received an inferior blessing. My hearers, and we find in this that deceit, hypocrisy, sometimes is even the way whereby God even blesses creatures. You would say, how is it possible? But it's so. For the blessing was designed for Jacob, even though they had used these means to take it. But now, my hearers, God visited Rebekah and he visited Jacob for their sins of lying and of deceit. For now Esau, he became angry, and he had it in his heart, and he said to some of the servants, the day of mourning for my father is come. I will kill my brother Jacob. He had then murder in his heart. He was going to slay him. See in this, my hearers, that he had no true repentance. See that he was filled with hatred towards his brother. He had no true sorrow concerning what had taken place. For if he had, he sure would have never put it in his heart to murder his brother. He would have said, oh God, you are just in dealing with me this way, for I have sinned. But we do not read that of Esau. He sought it with tears by his father so that he could get the blessing again, but God had designed it for Jacob. And now in this, my hearers, we see how wonderful that God works. Even where these people had done such things, still God meant good out of it. And now God visited Rebekah and Jacob. How? We find that Jacob, he had to flee. He had to leave his father's house because Esau sought to kill him. And now Rebekah, she went to Isaac and she said, if Jacob should marry a daughter of the land, she says, then there's no use for me to live anymore. What shall my life be? If he has a wife just like these two that Esau has. So now she designed in her mind to send him away to her brother Laban. And she thought, I'll send him away for some time until the anger of Esau, his brother, abates, and then I will tell him to come back again. This is what she thought. She never seen him anymore. Her beloved Jacob, whom she loved so dearly, she never seen him after he left. She died before Jacob came back again. And what happened to Jacob? When Jacob came into the land where Laban lived, he was deceived by Laban, and he changed his wages 10 times. God visited Jacob likewise for his deceit and for his hypocrisy. You know, in Jacob we have a picture of a hypocrite. Jacob, he couldn't disguise his voice. He talked to his father, and his father said, the voice is Jacob's. But he was dressed like Esau. My hearers, there are many people. They can speak so wonderfully about the way that God converts a sinner, but they never have experienced it themselves. And they make others to think that they are such a character as they are speaking about. Just like Jacob made out that he was Esau, so many a person makes out that he's a Christian and he's not. Oh, be careful, my hearers, for lying and for deceit, especially in religion. Oh, to be honest, to be sincere. Let honesty and integrity preserve me, David says. Oh, let that be your prayer, my hearers, and mine also. And now we find, my hearers, that Jacob had to flee. And Jacob, he came before his father Isaac, and his father Isaac told him to go to the land of his mother's brother, and that God Almighty be with him and bless him and make him a great nation, and that nations would come forth out of him. And we see this young man departing from his mother's and his father's home. It's 600 miles to where Laban dwells. And he traveled about 40 miles that day. And that very night, he came to a place where he intended to sleep and lay down. And he took of the stones of the place and he made a pillow. And there we find this runaway man, Jacob. Commentary says he's 75 years of age. I didn't think he was that old. But that's the way they reckon. That's how old he is already. And now he's going towards this country in the east. And here he lays himself down at night. Who knows what the thoughts of Jacob were? Oh, maybe he was thinking it's my own fault. Why did I ever consent to what my mother told me to do? Why didn't I tell her I wasn't going to do it? Here now, what did I do? I deceived my father. I lied to him. I even said, God brought this here to you. I even used God's name in it. Who knows what came back to this young man when he began to lay down there? Everything is not written in the Bible, my hearers. But he lay there. I am sure that he began to think like this. And he fell asleep. And as he was sleeping, my hearers, what happens? He thought he was all alone. He thought, well, maybe someday, maybe Esau will catch up with me and kill me yet. But there was a God in heaven that had thoughts about this young man, this man Jacob. He was an elect vessel of mercy. It's written in the Bible, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. And here we find Jacob dreaming. And as he's dreaming, he sees a ladder set up on the earth, and it reaches up to heaven. And he sees angels going up and down on this ladder. And God is above this ladder. God is speaking unto Jacob. He appears unto him. Oh, my hearers, can you fathom it? Can you understand it? Grace is so free, so sovereign, so wonderful that God would take the likes of that. Has he taken you? Has he ever appeared unto you? Oh, what a wonder it is, my hearers, when God meets with us. There wasn't anything in Jacob that merited this meeting. You must admit that. What had he merited? He had merited nothing else that his brother should kill him. And here God meets with him. What have you merited, my hearers? Has God ever met with you? What do you merit every day? What have you merited in your past life? And then for God to meet with you. Oh, what a wonder, my hearers. If it ever happened to you, you must admit it is a wonder, a godly wonder. God began to speak unto this man, Jacob. He communed with him. Oh, he said so many wonderful things to him. He says, I am the God of Abraham, thy father, and of Isaac, and the land upon which thou liest, I will give it unto thee and to thy seed after thee, and thou shalt spread forth to the north and to the south, to the east and to the west. And all nations shall be blessed in thee. And then he says unto him, I will be with thee, and I will keep thee wheresoever thou goest. And I will bring thee back again in this land, and I will not leave thee until I have fulfilled what I have spoken unto thee. Wonderful promises, my hearers, to a man that's fleeing away, afraid of death, afraid that he was under the curse of God and not under his blessing. And here God came down and manifested his presence to him. Oh, how wonderful are these words, my hearers. I haven't any time to enter into them. I intended to take this particular text apart. I will be with you, and I will keep you. Next week, the Lord willing, it's 3:05. I would like to continue. I have some subject to talk about. Oh, for God to be with a person. That means so much, my hearers. Wouldn't you want God to be with you? You know, if God ain't with you, oh, what is your life? You are without God and without Christ and without hope in this world. Oh, to have this God appear unto you in your life and say, I will be with you. We need this God, my hearers. Seek an interest in this God. Seek him while you yet live. You may find him. And if you find him, you find a treasure, my hearers, which will carry you into glory above. For he will be with you on earth when you die and when you enter into glory. That's all for today, my hearers.